The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, it's that time of the month. You know what that means. It's the Kingdom Intelligence Report. And tonight, we have from End Time Headlines, Ricky Scopero. We will discuss Israel. We will discuss Ukraine. We will discuss UFOs. And what in the world is this summer going to look like? My prediction is chaos. We're going to hear what Ricky has to say. Let's go. Big picture. All right, it is the Kingdom Intelligence Report, and we appreciate everybody that has joined us tonight from the big picture as well as from End Time Headlines. And if you have not smashed the like button wherever you're watching it, whether you're watching it on Rumble, whether you're watching it on YouTube or wherever at, from End Time Headlines or Big Picture, smash that like button and subscribe. If you watch it on Big Picture, watch it, subscribe, then go over to End Time Headlines, subscribe there. Watch it on End Time Headlines, watch it, subscribe, then go over to Big Picture and hit the subscribe button as well, because we like to share the love when it comes to the big picture. Wow, the moment you've been waiting for. He has entered the building, the one, the only, Ricky Scopero.
Yes, sir.
Looking
it
on,
is that time again, believe it or not.
It's crazy. Has it already been a month? This is insane, man. Time is flying.
We're sick. We're halfway. We're at the, it's halftime for 2024.
That's crazy. Now, that is really crazy. I mean, 2024, this is the year we've been looking at to be a year of chaos. And I tell you what, I don't know how you would, depending on how you're looking at the glass half full, glass half empty, it has not disappointed already. It is a crazy, crazy year. And I believe it's about to get even crazier as we move towards the fall and what is going to be in our country. And basically, you know, I want to remind everybody that this is in all the history, the recorded history, there are more major presidential prime minister elections going on this year than any year in recorded history. So that means there's more turnover of those that are at the top than we have ever seen. So that could be continuation of visions around the world, of plans and agendas, or it could be an upheaval of that. And I believe it's going to be more of an upheaval. And we'll get to that later on in the show. But Ricky, as we get right into it, we like to just go straight into getting as much content as we can. I want to ask you about a couple of things about Israel. First thing is, of course, just recently, Biden came out with an impromptu press conference. Just now we know it was, you know, more distraction because there was no content to it, proclaiming that there was going to be a proposed ceasefire and all of that. But nothing came of that. It was just talking points, took no questions. But shortly after that, not only did they not back up, they continued in the sense that the IDF went in and actually rescued 4 hostages and now many people, including Pastor Paul Begley on his show last week, said that his intelligence is saying that Israel is preparing to go into southern Lebanon, cross the border, and now attack Hezbollah, that they are far from winding down, far from ceasefires, that Israel is about to escalate on another level. So what are you hearing when it comes to Israel? What are some of the news reports that you're getting? What is the temperature of where this thing is going to go in the Middle East?
Well, I mean, I confer with what Pastor Paul Begley said. I've seen, you know, the same reports saying that Israel's not going to let up their military operations. You know, they warned Iran when Iran attacked and this is a sovereign nation attacking a sovereign nation. It wasn't just Hezbollah or Hamas attacking Israel recently. It was Iran, and this made it unprecedented. So, and then what's laughable is because I believe it was divine intervention of God, no fatalities from, remember all the barrage of missiles and everything that came against Israel. And And Biden had the audacity to call up Netanyahu and say, hey, since there was no fatalities and there was no major damage, let's just shrug this off. Wow. Let's just, you know, let bygones be bygones. Don't retaliate. Do the, and Netanyahu basically told him in no uncertain terms, that's not how it works, buddy. We, you know, we just got, you know, we just got attacked by a sovereign nation. We're going to, you know, it's not a matter of if, but when. We're going to make the date. We're going to make the time. Yep. And we're going to retaliate. So this is, I believe we're seeing, you know, these, how can you put this? Just, you know, these, the defense or the offensive that Israel's taking, it's coming in waves. It's not coming in one shots, but it's coming in waves. And then I just sit back and I'm baffled by the response of the White House and the administration. For example, yesterday, Kamala Harris gets up, vice president, and basically gave this whole speech and mourned Palestinians who were killed in. And I'm not saying, you know, we shouldn't be, you know, all human life, you know, it's a tragedy if anybody loses their life.
Right.
But the point that they emphasize, not the hostages that have been held hostage for what is it? I don't even have that in front of me. How many days it was? Do you have that? Unbelievable. How
October
long?
7th. I don't know how many days that accumulates to, but October 7th is a long time ago.
Right. And the fact that, you know, all that, and of course the atrocities that happened on October 7th. And what was the highlight of the White House speech? Mourning the Palestinians. Well, all that did was fuel the fire of demonstrations. Yeah. I don't know if you saw this or not, but there was a whole line of these protesters, and it said the red line. Did you see that? And they said, we're the red line, and it was a long line of protest. Yeah. Then you've got, there was a report coming out today I saw where the Biden administration is closing, or they're close to finalizing a treaty, interesting word, with Saudi Arabia that would commit the U.S. to help defend the Gulf nation as part of a long shot deal to encourage diplomatic ties between Saudi Arabia, Israel, and the U.S. So
I have seen that. And one of the things that Standale reported on, he's really, really follows closely what's his name? Bin Salman, the prince that will be the king of Saudi Arabia. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but he has been compiling what is known something like the Arab, it's not Muslim, but the Arab organization or alliance that's coming up under him. And he's been building this alliance as sort of like a Muslim slash Arab NATO version. And they're up to like 14 or 16 countries now, and more of them are falling in underneath his leadership. And what you're talking about, this treaty that they're proposing, that the U.S. government is trying to work with Saudi Arabia on the back end of it, what they're really trying to bring in is Saudi Arabia is leading it, but Bin Salman is saying, if we agree to this, we will bring all these Muslim nations with us into this agreement. And, you know, so we're talking about major enemies of Israel have all lined up underneath Saudi Arabia saying, if you get this deal, we'll follow your lead and we'll recognize some type of formal recognition of the existence of Israel. So the seed for that beast treaty is in play. And it is, I believe, being led by Mohammed bin Salman. And I believe that, if I said that his name correctly, I always mess it up, but you know who I'm talking about. But him and Jared Kushner are like best friends. And so there's just this sort of sinking feeling of, because, you know, that's the son-in-law of Donald Trump. Many people are believing that. They can't say it publicly, but Bin Salman is almost hoping that Trump wins so that he has the Washington power behind this treaty that he's trying to develop alongside Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner has been on the ground there ever since, for the last 6 years now, building these coalitions, because, you know, he was one of the main, if not the main orchestrator of the Abrahamic Accords. And Jared Kushner has still continued to work. And on the business side, he is proposing things to these countries saying, if you agree to this treaty, we will provide this financially. We will provide this business-wise. So, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And it's not just Biden's administration. Trump's administration is former, and even representatives now, including his own son-in-law, are continuing to negotiate this. So there are all kinds of strange things happening behind the scenes to bring this so-called treaty, I believe, and I think you believe, that is at very least the seedbed of the of what Daniel says he will confirm this seven-year treaty. So do you think when you look at Israel right now, you're a student of Bible prophecy, does it begin to be more and more apparent that the seedbed of that beast system is rising?
Well, absolutely. Let me throw a couple things out. Number one, you know, ever since this stuff's taken place with October 7th, Iran attacking, because Persia is mentioned, you know, in it puts a lot of eyes on a major prophetic war that's coming called Gog Magog, Ezekiel 38, 39. One of the things that I've always emphasized in there is when you study that out, the very first chapter of Ezekiel 38, the first two paragraphs, it talks about that this will not take place until the latter days of Israel, the latter times or the end times. It talks about when it will take place, when Israel is dwelling in a place of safety and security, and they have no walls and no gates, so they've let their guard down. So it's my opinion, and I'm not alone in this. I believe a lot of other students of eschatology have all believed that in order for the hooks to be put in the jaws of, and consequently, the first one coming out of the gate that's pulled down is Persia, and they're leading the cause of this. So there has to be a sequence of treaties that are put in place in order for Israel to let their guard down. And then that's where Daniel 9:27 comes in, because your Bible says that when he comes in, he confirms a treaty.
So that's it.
To confirm something, it means it's already established. It's been put in place. And so this is very interesting with all these nations coinciding with Saudi Arabia, because that would be, again, plural tense, nations, a covenant with many. And then I'm going to throw this out there. I don't know what you think about this, but, you know, there's been, for years, there's been a debate on who the Antichrist is, what's his manifesto, where is he coming out of? Some things to think about is some of the verbiage that's given or titles that's used for the Antichrist. One is called the Prince Who Is to Come. Now, think about where you find princes. Right. One of the locations is Saudi Arabia. Now, I'm not sitting here implying to you today that this man is the Antichrist or the Antichrist coming out of Saudi Arabia. But what I'm saying is you'll find princes still today in Muslim nations and Arab nations. Then, you know, there's these kind of clues that the Bible gives us to look for. That's what I'm saying. The breadcrumbs are being given to us, and it's our responsibility to take these things, you know, and who has discernment of these things, and put these things together and give you, no pun intended, the big picture of Bible prophecy.
Yeah, and you know, of going back to Stan Deo, for those that watch this channel, the big picture, very familiar with Stan. And Stan is actually convinced that MBS, Ben Salman, is the Antichrist. And he gives evidence of it and all that. Now, where I stand is I'm of the belief that I believe the Antichrist is alive 100% right now, and is building coalitions, but I'm still of the pre-trib rapture. You know, we're sort of the lesser online right now. The people that are pre-trib, I still believe in the pre-judgment, pre-tribulation, pre-wrath rapture of the church. And I also believe that although we will probably have an idea that will be pretty obvious, I don't really believe that he can be revealed as the Antichrist as long as the church is here. Because I don't care if he is inhabited by the devil himself. That don't even happen until the halfway point of the tribulation period. But the devil is still subject to the power of the Holy Ghost. And I believe that corporately the church would not allow the Antichrist to do the things if we knew who he was. We'd cast the devil out of the Antichrist. So that's one of the reasons that I believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. But Stan is convinced that MBS and or one of the two, not and, but or, he believes that Jared Kushner could be being set up because he, what you're talking about, the prince, even though we do not have, you know, per se, the monarchy in America, if Trump was the president, it would be sort of like Jared Kushner would be in a prince role. So he thinks that many, those two, because they are almost best friends, run hand in hand together in it, at the very least, creating that system that's going to be there. And so who knows? Who knows? But I can tell you this, something is brewing very heavily in the Middle East. It's more than just war. The war is very real. The war in Israel is very real. But ladies and gentlemen, there are things going on behind the scenes and other countries surrounding Israel that are being built, designed, and cultivated for the bigger picture of the kingdom of the beast, the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. All this is coming. But for the believer, that means Jesus is coming. And we have a mission that we've got to be focused on. So before we leave Israel, is there anything else that you feel that our listeners, our viewers on both of our channels need to be aware of that is happening or that we need to be looking that's coming?
Well, one of the things I want to throw out there is the fact that now I'm going to make a statement that may, I don't know if it'll necessarily offend anybody, but it may shock some people. I don't think this war of Gog and Magog is going to happen anytime soon. I just don't. I don't think based on, you got to look at the whole entirety of this. Now, when I say soon, I mean it's not going to happen next month or right. A couple months now. There's a lot of things. For example, if you go to the book of Revelation, it talks about 10 nations. There'll be 10 nations already be established, and the little horn, who is the Antichrist, has to rise up among them. Now, this is something we talked about. I don't know how you feel about this, Larry, but I talked about this on a recent podcast we did on our program. But if you go over in the book of Daniel, it talks about these 10 toes prophetically they are a mixture of iron and clay. Now, I know there's different interpretations of that, but is it possible? You know, there's a great emphasis now on creating. China's getting into this right now. Russia has kind of been talking about this and other nations of creating AI armies, soldiers of artificial intelligence, and these cyborgs that are half, watch this, clay and half iron. So could it be possible, and I'm just throwing this out there, that when you got a 200 million man army, we've always speculated, is this possible? How could this be? What if, I'm just throwing this out there. I know that we're taking a little spin here, but could it be this 200 million man army, or even these 10 nations, are made up of these cyborg part iron and part clay? Because again, Elon Musk has talked about this. China is actually in the process of creating AI soldiers.
Dude, that is not only intriguing, but the more I get into this and the more I do this show, the more and more I believe that's absolutely not only doable, it is 100% coming. I mean, it is going to happen. It is happening. It is going to happen. And that's a great theological theory there. I tell you, the book of Revelation is opening up before us, right before our eyes. And people that have been students of it for years, decades, that have had sort of set in their mind theories on certain things have had to adjust on that. And you know, let's just park here for just a few more seconds here is, you know, I remember the last time I did the teaching verse by verse here on this channel on the book of Revelation. And by the way, if you ever really want to go back through it, all you got to go to is thebookofrevelation.tv, thebookofrevelation.tv, and it will take you right to the playlist. And we go verse by verse. I think it ended up being probably 17 episodes or something like that.
Wow.
But when we were teaching that and we got to the image of the beast, it just, man, it just blew my mind when it says, and I'd never seen it before, that the false prophet called on the people to contribute to it. And no other generation could have understood that until this generation. And then it just hit me. That's coding. That's coding. The image of the beast is going to have AI, very heavily involved in AI. And it is the only generation that could ever really truly understand how the whole world could contribute to the to this image of the beast would be our generation. And it's very obvious to us now. It makes complete total sense to us. So I think what you're saying about that, the iron and the clay and the drones and, you know,
those weird locusts that come up out of the ground. Have you ever read the description of those things? It, you know, you think about John is trying to give a description of something in our lifetime using the verbiage of his lifetime.
Right.
And many people's always equated those locusts. Well, they're helicopters because they have a face like a man and they have their sting and all this. And again, I propose to you, look at these weird things that is being created. You've got insect drones. You've got all that. Cause so they could literally be locusts. They could be locusts John's looking and said, okay, these are iron locusts. These are locusts. They look different, but he said, the only thing I've got to pull from my vernacular is locusts. And me, Larry, I'm 100% convinced. When I read this, it just opens the whole Bible up to me as far as the book of Revelation goes and things that have been mysteries. I think it's starting to become more and more clear that this technology, by the way, Daniel said, what did he say? He said, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. And that's what going back to what Larry said, the false prophet, you know, in that day when John wrote that, he did not have the capability, the technology and all of the resources to be able to call upon the people to make an image, to be able to speak and live. That'd be unheard of. But we have it today, friend. Yeah.
We have it today. And boy, man, woo, this is good stuff, man. Yeah. We do. And you know, the old saying is, we don't know what we don't know. And it's like, you know, we are, I don't know how old you are, but you know, I'm not one of them guys that cares. Please, I don't want people to know how old I am. I'm 56 years old, okay? And I'm proud of it. So you're just a young man. You're just a young man. Yeah, but, you know, we come up in the generation, we come up in the church, where we heard about all these things, and we just sort of took it by what we knew at that time. I remember my mama taking the first time we ever started seeing UPC codes. That's how old I am. And, it, you know, used to just have the sticker on it, didn't have the UPC codes. And you know, I'd pick up a can in the grocery store and put it in the buggy, and she'd say, "Don't you put that in my buggy. That's the mark of the beast." And I was like, "What are you talking about, Mama?" And I was just a little kid. She's like, "You mark my words." Mom, I'll never forget my mama saying this in the middle of the grocery store. "You mark my words. That's either the mark of the beast or that's the beginning of the mark of the beast." And she was right. But we didn't know how far advanced that would go. And now here we are to where, like, you don't know what you don't know. Well, yeah, when we were kids, that's all we could do is say that's a helicopter. That's got to be a helicopter, because when we look at our technology that we knew as a kid and we just see the shape of that military chopper, we'd say, okay, yeah, that could look like a locust to John. But what you just said is so profound. Maybe he saw an actual locust. Maybe he saw a mechanical, demonically possessed, because now we're talking about entities are being invaded by demonic spirits, because we know demons can be attached to objects. So could it have actually literally been an artificial intelligence drone created locust that's demon possessed? What? This is crazy.
It's crazy. And this technology just keeps evolving and evolving. And think about, you know, remember the false prophet will work hand-to-hand with the Antichrist, who's already got a system in place. And listen, the Antichrist, all he wants to do is make us a number. Think about it. He wants to make us a number. And that's, are we not, is that not what we are in society today? We're a number. You have a social security number. You have an ID number. You come, you're just a number. And the Antichrist, that's his whole goal. He wants to make you a number. You won't not be able to buy, sell, or trade without his number, his name, or his mark upon your head or your forehead. It is unbelievable. It's unbelievable, but it's not, because we've been warned about this for thousands of years. But it's fascinating that we are truly blessed, Larry, to be alive. Yes. Come on. Here it comes. Ready? For such a time as this.
Yes. The sons of Issachar are here to discern the times, to know what Israel ought to do. That's us. I say this all the time. I say it in my church. I say it on this channel. In all the years of humanity's existence, the Alpha and Omega has never been shocked or surprised by anything. He's the Omega. He's not going to be the Omega. He is the Omega. He's already been to the end. So he knows who the end generation is. When Daniel wrote what he wrote, when John wrote what he wrote, and all the other prophets have written all the prophecies, they were writing with the knowledge only that the Holy Spirit was giving them. But our God is all-knowing. He is the Omega. So he knew there would be a final generation. And he began to tell us all these things that final generation would see. And we are sitting here talking about systematically, one after the other, from the earthquakes in diverse places, the wars and rumors of wars, the pestilence, and now the AI, and now the beast system. All of this is happening in our lifetime. And I thank God for Billy Graham. I thank God for Seymour. I thank God for filling the blanks, the great historians and the great preachers of the great awakenings. They all have one thing in common, whether they were Pentecostal, whether they were even cessationists, whether they were whatever. They're all dead, but we are alive, and God trusted us, and he did not want us to be operating in fear. He wanted us to be smart, to be wise, but also to be excited that we have been honored and blessed by God to be alive in this moment. Everything that needs to happen for the end to come is in place. It's just, there's only one thing left that Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached to all nations. So we got a job to do, and he's laying it all out for us all around us. But the church is, in my opinion, is not doing what it needs to do. And there is a remnant that is rising. There is people that are preaching the gospel, doing what God has called us to do. But the remnant is getting more powerful, but the remnant is getting smaller and smaller by the day. And you got two preachers on here, y'all. So what do y'all think he's going to get tonight? We're going to preach the gospel. Okay. So, all right, let's get back to the news. All right. So that's, that's Israel. But let's not forget, there is a major war still going on in Ukraine. It is one of the most unusual wars, I think, that we've ever experienced. It is hundreds of billions of dollars that have been given from our country, not to mention other countries. Estimates are hundreds of thousands have died on both sides, although we never hear anything on the news about death tolls and that kind of stuff. There's no embedded reporters. No one is reporting every night like they are in Israel. Nobody's standing there with explosions over their shoulder, although we're giving them so much money. It is a very strange war. And now, as we're getting closer to the election, and it appears that it's not going to be resolved by November, which I think this administration thought it would be, or at least closer to it, it seems to be going nowhere near that. They all of a sudden decide at the last minute, oh, yeah, we change our mind. United States and other nations have given permission to Ukraine to use their weapons that they've sent to start attacking Russia inside mainline Russia, to go from just a defensive mode to an offensive mode. And now we have NATO countries being led by France saying they are going to send thousands of soldiers into Ukraine for training purposes, air quotes intended. So what do you think's about to happen with the Ukrainian war with Russia? And I believe you have some intelligence that you want to break on our program regarding Cuba.
Well, I am I'm concerned. I'm not worried, but I am concerned. I'm not worried because God is still on the throne, but concerned as an American citizen, as one who loves our nation, of course. There was some statements that made in response to what Larry just gave the information. The Kremlin warned Washington that they made a, quote, fatal miscalculation for allowing U.S. supply weapons inside Russia. And as a result of that, as a consequent to that, there was a report stating that Russia. Now, listen to this. This is, I don't know if we'll have people in here that are there. I'm sure there'll be a handful of people that will remember this. But I wasn't even alive then. But let me give you this. Russia is deploying air and sea assets, including a nuclear capable submarine, to the Caribbean, to Cuba. Now, why is this significant? Well, if some of you were alive then and remember this, there was what was called the Cuban Missile Crisis. Or the October crisis. You ever heard of the October surprise?
Say it.
This was a 13-day confrontation between the U.S. and Russia. This all took place when American, listen to this, guys, American deployments of nuclear missiles in Italy and Turkey were matched by Soviet deployments of nuclear missiles in Cuba. So, Larry, this is, again, we're seeing a repeat. And this was, guys, this was not just anything. They're saying this situation that happened in 1962 in that 13-day confrontation was the closest we had ever come to a full-scale nuclear war. Now, they made a big deal about this back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, even, you remember in the early 80s, there was that movie they made called The Day After. Anybody remember that?
Oh, yeah, it freaked everybody out because people thought it was real.
Yeah, and it was based on this. It was based on the fact that we were on the precipice of a Cold War, the next Cold War, and people were just very on edge. But you think, now I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'm going to point out here that this Ukraine and Russia conflict has kind of, now I'm not saying it's fizzled out as far as confrontation goes, but it's fizzling out to keep the attention span of the of normal or typical Americans. Think about it. How often, let's just be honest here, hit us up in the chat right there on in the big picture or End Time Headlines, wherever you're watching this. Let us know, how often do you think about that war? Come on.
That's a good point.
We're not seeing it. It's not being televised. It's not being emphasized. And you know what I'm concerned with, Larry, is that the longer this Israel conflict carries out, it's going to be the same thing, because we have a whole generation that I call it the TikTok generation. They have a short shelf life of attention span. Now, why is that bad? Here's why it's bad, because you think about, let's go back to 1962. When this thing was going on, there was such a tension in the atmosphere. There was such fear that we'd begin a full-scale Cold War, that leaders began to do something about it. They made preparations. They did this. But now it's like, what are we doing? Right. Nobody, they shove it up. Well, I'm not worried about Russia. You know, Putin is, you know, he's just blowing a bunch of smoke. And I see that in the comments all the time. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We have a nuclear-capable submarine and other military aircraft and equipment that's being put in place into a strategic location where they can strike the U.S. and nobody, I guarantee you, most people are not even blinking an eye to this. And I don't know if you know this, I'm sure you know this, but I know multiple people, including myself, who's had, I believe, dreams from the Lord, visions from the Lord about a future nuclear conflict. And I know myself, and I'm not tooting my own horn, and I pray to God, Lord knows I've interceded against this and pray it doesn't happen. But I had a dream. This was years ago when I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee, of a full-scale Russian invasion happening to America, and it was by air and sea. I mean, I'm talking about, in this dream, I saw the news broadcast. I saw the journalist, and he was the words, the verbiage. It was as real as us standing here like this. And at that time, it was so far out, you know, from being a reality. But here we are today, and this thing is like Putin is breathing down our neck. It's no secret that they're in bed with China. And let me throw this one thing out. I'm going to throw it back to you, Larry. Go to Ezekiel 38:39 again. And then, you know, it talks about in there, when you read that war of Gog and Magog, it talks about in there that Russia is involved. Southern Soviet Russian nation, the states are involved in that war of Gog and Magog. So Russia is involved in it, but they are supplying weapons to other nations to plunder Israel. And here we, and look at this, look how everything is just falling into place like this.
And then you have on top of all of this, two things. Number one, Putin made a statement a few weeks ago. He said, you know, I think people have forgotten that we have more nuclear weapons than any country in the world. What we might need to do, it wasn't Putin that said it, but one of his leaders in his Defense Department said, what we need to do, and we are planning to do it, is to test another major nuclear bomb for all the world to see. It's been a long time. Now, there's been rumors that North Korea has done it, but they're just, you know, off the grid and all this in so many ways. But major countries like Russia and America that have had public viewing of testing of nuclear weapons, it's been decades. And Russia has said that they are getting ready to go out into their Siberia, wherever they do it, and they're going to high-quality 4K video the detonation and the potential destruction of a nuclear weapon. And this person in the Russian department said, Ukraine, America, and the world need to see that what we have and be reminded of what we can do, because they have lost the fear of what they think we actually can do. And so when you've got that kind of talk saying, we need to show you again what we can do, we don't have this. We've not spent trillions of dollars on these weapons just to have them and hang up on the wall somewhere. We can and will use them. America the same way. But Russia has come out and said that. Then you have, just in the last couple of weeks, for the first time ever, China completely encircles Taiwan with military all the way around. I don't know if you remember this, but we covered it here about 3 months ago. China unilaterally, on their own, with no global power behind them, just decided to do it, went on the other side of Taiwan and redrew their maps and placed the water on the other side of Taiwan, that's opposite of China, as international waters of China. So they redrew the map. Now, if you look at China's map now, the international waters used to split between Taiwan and mainland China. Now China's international waters line goes on the other side of Taiwan and comes back around into the China Sea. And then they say after that is the international waters. So they have already redrawn the map to include Taiwan inside Chinese international boundaries. They just encircled for the first time ever ships, planes, and begin to practice the invasion of Taiwan. They have said as early as June of last year, I reported that military personnel in America were saying that they were hearing that Xi was planning on invading Taiwan in the summer of 24 and that they were going to attack Taiwan. And anyone that protected Taiwan would be known as an enemy of China, and that America was preparing. June of last year, they were telling their soldiers, "We will go to war with China in 24." So you have all of that culminating. What's going on in Ukraine? What's going on now? What is about to be going on in Taiwan? And then you have the monkey wrench that nobody saw coming, which is the Middle East and Israel. And then you have Israel now saying they're about to cross the border into Lebanon. They're getting ready to do it to attack Hamas on the same level that, I mean, Hezbollah on the same level as they did Hamas, which is the number one proxy military of Iran, which would be a de facto declaration of war against Iran, which is also a nuclear power. Ladies and gentlemen, you better get right with God, because Gog, Magog, World War III, whatever you want to call it, whether it's going to happen pre-tribulation in this point, we're going to have to go through the tribulation or not, the stage is set. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you're going to make it through this summer and into the fall and the things that are going to happen in 24 and beyond, you better absolutely not have a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. You better be truly born again. You better be truly radically sold out to God. And I'll go as far as to say you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Come on, I concur with that. And you know what's interesting is who else is redrawing maps with Israel removed from the equation? Think about it. Who else is drawing maps in the Middle East with Israel gone and missing? So this is the same spirit behind this. This is, everything is falling in place. And by the way, for the first time in history, think about this, church, the first time in history, a spokesman from the Kremlin got up in about 2 or 3 days ago and called America the enemy of the state. First time in history.
Wow.
Things are changing quickly. We are not, it's going to be, and I know we were going to get into a little bit about this, but this election is bigger than what we think and what we believe. This is not just a, again, people get glazed over, they become bored because it's Biden and it's Trump again. I'm telling you, there's so much at stake and people don't realize that what's coming up. And these nations and these leaders of these nations all know what's at stake.
Yes.
And what's coming.
Yeah. If we don't know it, I guarantee they know it. They know it. And I'll say this. I believe they feel like you can just sort of sense, and I'm sure you're feeling this too, that everybody, these other prime ministers, presidents, these other nations that are hostile, it seems like they're trying to rapid fire, get as much done as they can, because there's uncertainty in their mind, or maybe there's even pretty confident that Trump is going to win or whatever, and they're feeling like, if we're going to do anything, we better do it now. We better do it as quick as we can, because there's a chance, whether it happens or not, that somebody's going to come in there and we're not going to get the money. We're not going to get the permissions that we're getting now to do what we want to do. So we need to go ahead and do whatever we can as quick as we can. Do you feel sort of like it just sort of feels like they're just think they're running out of time?
Yeah, look, we're getting into this right now. Let me throw this out there. I saw an interesting interview with Trump and Dr. Phil. Did you see that interview?
This was recent. Yes, I did.
Yes, and Dr. Phil did a poll. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't his studio in California?
Yes.
Okay, did you see where he did a poll with the audience? Lots of people there. He said, who of you would elect as a president a convicted felon? Like, what was it? Like 97% of the audience raised their hand. I was shocked, and this was in California. There was a very small percentage of people said they would not. Okay, here's the thing that troubles me. They have, and when I say they, I'm talking about the, whatever you want to call it. I'm going to try to be careful because I want this to stay on the air. There's a certain group of individuals that are pulling the strings and doing everything they can to remove this man from any kind of threat to our nation and be able to carry out what he desires to do in our nation. And they have played every card. They've tried to use the Russian collusion. They have tried to get him arrested. They've tried to throw lawsuits at him. They tried to make up a bunch of stuff. They've tried everything. And now this was, in my opinion, Larry, this was the last card they could play. This was the final thing that they could use, I guess, without going into a tactic that I fear and many people fear. But you realize, people, that if this doesn't stop him, and this ain't about, I'm just throwing the facts out there. If this doesn't stop this man from winning the election, who's to say? You realize the final card that these people will play is to somehow try to physically remove him from office. I'm not going to use words. I'm not going to try. Yeah. I'm telling you, we need to be in prayer. We need to be in intercession because they have thrown everything they can. And if now you say, well, I don't really care. I'm not into politics. All that. Listen, you should care because here's why. If let's just say throw an hypothesis out here. If they were to carry this out, a sudden plane crash, heart attack, died in his sleep, whatever. You already know it's going to be spun like, I mean, because it's not like it's never happened before. But if that was to carry out, that was to transpire, do you actually think there would not be major repercussions in our country? I believe, Larry, that would be the final match. It would be lit. Yeah. And you want to talk about absolute, utter chaos in this nation? Yeah. So that is something, my friend, I'm going to tell you right now. For me, I'm praying against because I don't want to see this nation come to that. But I'm telling you, I pray that they do not try to attempt that. And if, God forbid, if they were to be successful on that, that, my friend, would be a match lit that would cause absolute chaos in this country. I mean, do you believe that? What's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I do.
That?
I believe that. We're a powder keg. I mean, we are literally a powder keg ready to explode. And they know that. And that we've almost been there a couple of times in recent history. But one way or the other, no matter how this election goes, there's going to be some stuff happening in the streets. We all know that. Yeah. It's being built up to it now. One of the things, you know, the first sort of piece of kindling, if you will, on that fire that you're talking about being lit started with these pro-Palestinian protests that came into the college campuses. It started ramping up. That was their version of what was happening in 2020. So we're starting to see the full circle. It just feels just like 2020 again as we're getting ready to move towards it. But it started at the college campuses. It had nothing to do with Trump or Biden. It was about pro-Palestinian, supposedly anti-Israel, but now it's beginning to spill into the streets. Now you're beginning to see them interrupting, of all things, Biden and Kamala Harris and many of the Democrats, you know, calling them different names and stuff like that. Don't want to say the words, get flagged. But now they're saying, I'm sure you're aware of this, that the Democratic National Convention this year is going to be in Chicago again. And Chicago was the place in 1968 where the Democratic Convention was, and it was complete chaos. It was just chaos in the streets, police, barricades, yep, buildings burning. And, of course, in that year, we had the assassination of Dr. King, Robert Kennedy Jr. Now we have Robert Kennedy. We have Robert Kennedy Jr., running for president as an independent in the same year. And then we have the Democratic Convention going back to Chicago again, and hundreds of thousands, they have already submitted permit requests for hundreds of thousands of people that they're planning on being in the streets of Chicago. Pro-Palestinian and anti-Israel protests is what they're calling it, to protest the Democratic Party and the Biden administration's pro-Israel, if you want to call it that, is what they're using that as the talking point. So then you've got, you know, there's going to be protest in Wisconsin for the Republican National Convention. Then you have July 11th is coming up quick, which is going to be the sentencing of Trump.
Yeah,
which is not a coincidence, which is 4 days before the Republican National Convention, and he could potentially be in jail when he's nominated as a Republican candidate at the convention, which is 4 days after his hearing. We have only just begun to see this powder keg. So we pray in the name of Jesus for calm. We pray in the name of Jesus. We do not want to see one single life taken, regardless of whether it's a major person, a major personality, or some guy on the street. But the forces that be, Ricky, that you're talking about, that's what they want. Because chaos, when chaos ensues, that's when control is taken.
Chaos will birth the Antichrist.
Absolutely. And that's, is that not really what the Antichrist is all about? Control. You cannot buy or sell unless you have his mark. You have to worship him, worship the image of the beast, pledge your allegiance. We just saw how quickly people will give up their freedoms when they're afraid. And I believe they realize they can't do it that way again, because people will see that coming from a mile away. So instead of just, whether it be the bird flu or something else, that's going to be involved. But instead of it being that, it's got to be something that really strikes fear into you. When you turn on the news every day, when you go to YouTube and you see things burning and you see people blood and you see all of this, I'm telling you, that's where our country is going. All we can do is pray and plead the blood of Jesus for what's coming. Ricky, pray for us right now as we are getting close to the time. But listen, I can feel it. You get the comments. I know I get the comments. I can't take this. Ricky, I can't take this. This is too much for me. I have to check out. I'm scared to death. I mean, people will comment on our show saying, I love you guys, but I can only handle so much. I'm scared to death. I got to turn this off. I got to get out of this room. And it breaks our heart because we don't want to be instruments of fear. And that's not what we're trying to do, even on this show. We're just trying to open your eyes. But we always come back to God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Can you pray for the End Time Headlines, ETH family, the Big Picture family, and just rebuke that spirit of fear and flip that thing on the devil? And give us a reason why we should be excited that we're alive during this time and not afraid.
Absolutely. Father, we just thank you for this gathering together of these believers, of this ecclesia of men and women and of all ages and ethnicities and groups. Lord, we are the church. And Father, you said upon this rock, you'll build your church and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Father, we recognize and we understand that there is blueprints and strategies, and there is assignments that are happening in the earth, that this has to happen. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. Lord, we see the blueprints, even all the way back in Genesis 11 at the construction of the Tower of Babel, the picture of the first one world government. It was established and it came to be about after a global catastrophe. So I believe you leave these things as markers or memorials, places of memorial, so that we can know where we're going. It gives us roadmaps to show us where we're going. And if we know we're heading in that direction, Lord, the same book that tells us there's coming a rise of an Antichrist and a one world government and a beast system and a control system, Lord, that same book also tells us that we are awaiting a King of King and Lord of Lords. That same book is telling us that he's coming back on a white horse and we're coming with him. Come on to rule and reign with the rod of iron. That same book tells us that he's the beginning, the end, the first, the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Church, he has already got it figured out. He's got everything established, and all he's calling us to do is be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil's like a roaring lion going to and fro and seeking who he may devour. I want to remind us today as the church that all through history, where the remnant was there in the earth, he had already made provision for them. Yeah. He established angels for them. He established blueprints for them. He established strategies for them. So I implore everyone that's listening today, now is the time more than ever to get in your prayer closet, get in your devotional time, because the same God that gave, come on, Daniel strategies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a strategy. He gave Nehemiah a strategy. He gave Amos a strategy. He gave all these men of God strategies. He is giving us strategies today. He's giving us blueprints today. He's leading us. He's giving us angels to minister to us so that we can navigate through this chaotic world. And come on, church, remember, we are those who dwell under the shadow of the Almighty, in Jesus' name. Woo! Amen.
Whoa, that right there deserves a little. Yeah! Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, praise God. That was powerful. That was so powerful. Oh, when you said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, man, that just lit me because I love, love, love when they said, listen, our God is capable to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we will not bow to your agenda. Yes, so yeah, we believe God that he's going to keep us from things, but even if he doesn't, we're still going to praise him because we're going to trust that he's going to walk with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He will not leave us. We will not fear, for he is with us. His rod and his staff to comfort us. Prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. Man, Ricky, what a show. It gets away from us, man. We always have all these things we're going to cover, and then the Spirit of God just takes over. It is. Ricky, I appreciate everything so much of what you do. You're such a consistent voice here on social media, whether it be Facebook, Instagram, and of course YouTube, Rumble, and all the places that you are. But one of the places that people can always go to find you is your website, End Time Headlines. And all you got to do is go to endtimeheadlines.org or .com, and you will see his great, great website that Sandy and I utilize every single day and throughout the day. It is a one-stop news, but I love that it's called End Time Headlines, and that you'll know why if you've never been there. You can download his app. His free app there is the best way to follow the news and to be connected with him. There's ways that you can give there on his website, and we appreciate you. So thanks again for joining us on the Kingdom Intelligence Report. To all the ETH family, we're so thankful that you loan Ricky to us once a month and that we bring our two families together, and it means a lot. So thank you again for being on the program.
Absolutely. We love you and Sandy and the Big Picture family, and looking forward to seeing you guys next month.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll be back.
Would you like to help us build the Big Picture family? We're on a mission to wake up the world to what is really going on. All you have to do is go to our website at LarryRaglin.com and make a one-time gift, or you can become a monthly partner. Any amount is a blessing and an encouragement to us. While you're there, make sure you get a copy of our book, I See Greatness in You. Browse our merchandise store, connect with us on our social media links, and join our mailing list. We appreciate it. And remember, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake.
Oh, yeah, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake here at the Big Picture. If you have not smashed that like button, what are you waiting on? Smash it, smash it, smash it. Wherever you're watching this, give us some love. Subscribe to End Time Headlines. Subscribe to the Big Picture. We appreciate it. And if you're new to our channel, the Kingdom Intelligence Report is each and every Thursday night. You can see the lineup that we have at 7 p.m. Central. Paul Begley, Ricky Scopero, Stan Deo, Pastor Mark Correll. Sometimes I'll do a show myself on here. And then, of course, every Monday night is the big show, a two-hour news show with me and my lovely wife, Sandy. We cover the news, breaking news from a kingdom perspective live. And then finally, every Wednesday night, and this has been blowing up, y'all, I'm so thankful to God what he's doing. We do a verse-by-verse, in-depth Bible teaching every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. These are just some of the things that happen here on The Big Picture. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. We always want to remind you, we ain't woke, but we are certainly awake. And we'll see you next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.